Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Who are paradigm shifters? Are people who make a difference on the planet by shifting the collective through some creative verve that they have. Usually it's inspired. And we have a very inspirational young lady here. I'm Rita Cottrell, who healed herself of breast cancer and is helping a lot of people using sound and sound healing. And that's Amrita's music that we started with. Welcome to the show, Amrita.
Hi, Veronica. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here.
We've been talking about doing this for a couple years, so here we are.
So, what I want you to tell people is, what is your story? How did you get to be a sound healer?
Well, I came to it through a very personal experience, and I think I can safely say that sound healing basically saved my life. In 1997, I was living in Hawaii, and basically had, I would say, an idyllic life. I lived out in the jungly area. I had a beautiful organic garden where I grew vegetables that I sold at the farmer's market, spent a lot of time outside in nature. And one day I found a lump in my breast, and I was shocked, of course. And I went to the doctor, and I hadn't had my baseline mammogram at 40, so they had to do a mammogram, and they saw this lump that I had felt, and they said, well, you know, that's really nothing to worry about. It's just a cyst, and there's nothing there to worry about. But on the other side, we see that you have early stage but widespread breast cancer, and I nearly fell to the floor. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And so they suggested that I go see a specialist on one of the other islands. And so I went over to Oahu and met with this surgeon. And she said that I needed to have a mastectomy. And I just couldn't believe it when I heard that. So I said to her, well, I need some time to process this. And so I took a few weeks, and I did a lot of prayer. I did some research. Certainly didn't know then what I know now, but I know that I was guided in the decisions that I made, so there are no regrets. But so I went ahead and had the mastectomy and had reconstructive surgery done immediately, which was a very, very grueling procedure to go through, and I don't know that I would go through that ever again. Very difficult procedure. But I did do a little bit of research before the surgery to try to maximize my own healing ability. So I had music playing during the surgery. I had healing touch done before the surgery and after the surgery, so that I needed the minimal amount of any kind of medication, pain medication and such. And I healed very quickly. And after the surgery, I decided, rather than doing any other kind of traditional follow-up treatment, that I would go up into the mountains to a retreat center and do a 5-month retreat and just really be quiet with myself and heal myself on a deeply spiritual level. And of course, I was still healing on a physical level. And during that retreat, in prayer and meditation, I had asked what the lesson was for me and what it was that I needed to gain from the experience. And the answer that I got was that I was going to use my voice in healing. I had absolutely no idea what that meant. But when I left the retreat, I decided, well, if I'm going to be using my voice in healing, I probably should go study voice. So I went to the University of Hawaii and enrolled.
Had you been a singer up till then?
Well, I grew up singing, yeah, singing in the church, singing with, you know, in various groups and things like that, but nothing real serious. So I enrolled in this program at the University of Hawaii, and as I found out, it was definitely not a very healing program. It was so stressful because it was all about competition and
oh my!
But it did train my voice, which I think in some ways was a good thing. but it was very stressful. And 2 years later, I went back to have a follow-up exam, and it turned out that the cyst that they said was nothing to worry about was actually hiding two tumors underneath it. And now they had had 2 years to grow. So when they did a mammogram, around this cyst were these two shadows. And, of course, you know, the surgeon said, oh, my goodness, you know, you've got to have another mastectomy. I said, wait a minute. I said, no, that's not my path this time. And, of course, she did her best to try to convince me that that's what I had to do because, you know, I'd already had cancer, and here it was 2 years later, and there was more cancer. And I said, no, I said, I just feel strongly that that's not my path this time. So we kind of went back and forth. Finally, I said, okay, you know what? Here's a compromise. Schedule the surgery for 2 months from now. I'm going to try something else first. It's already been there for 2 years. 2 more months isn't going to make that much difference. And I remembered that, you know, that message that I'd gotten, and I was going to use my voice in healing. Mm. So I immediately, you know, went into prayer and meditation to ask, you know, what it was that I was supposed to do. And I just right around that time, I had met a man who lived in California, and he had received a similar kind of message in a meditation that he was going to use his music in healing. So we decided to partner up and see what we could do.
When you first got breast cancer, you were living alone then.
Yeah, I was alone.
So you're on a lone journey.
Yeah, it was a lonesome road for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think it might have been a bit grueling at times.
You can say that. But I think, what is it they say? Whatever doesn't kill you just makes you strong. Well, I certainly got some strength through that one. And my family was on the east coast of the United States, so we were as far away from each other as we could possibly be, so it was not convenient for them to come and be with me at all. So I went to California at that point and partnered up with this friend of mine, and he said that he would help me through this journey, whatever it was going to be. So we bought a little motor home and made it into our healing center, and we went out into the wilderness areas, and for the first few days we basically just sat in prayer and meditation, just slowing ourselves down, slowing down, slowing down, slowing down, and listening, asking the question of my body, what do you need to come back into balance? And then listening and listening and listening. And we started getting inspirations. It wasn't like voices in our heads, but it was definitely spirit guided. There was absolutely no fear in me at all, and that was one of the things before I went away that I said to my friends and to my family. I'm going away for a while. I don't want you to worry about me. I don't want you to be in fear. I just want you to send me thoughts of love and trust me that I know what I'm doing.
Didn't anybody argue with you?
Oh, lots of people argued with me. And there were friends that I lost. They just couldn't handle it. That was just too much for them,
mm-hmm,
for me to turn my back on, quote-unquote, Western medicine. But I had a very strong resolve. I just knew that spirit was guiding me and that I was taken care of. I didn't know how, but I didn't have fear. And I wouldn't let myself go into a place of fear. If I ever started to feel any sort of concern, I would just go back to my heart, feel the love, and those feelings would dissipate. So eventually we started getting some very clear instructions, inspirations on what to do, and certain sounds to make. Now, I had never had any training. I'd never done any workshops on sound healing. I really hadn't read any books. Now, remember, this is back in 1999, so it was before this huge surge in the field of sound healing that we see nowadays.
Right.
And so we just started practicing what we were getting inspirationally, which was to do toning. And toning is just, you know, long sustained vowels on different notes, different tones. And as we would do those, I could feel the tones vibrating in different parts of my body. And when I would get to a certain tone, I could literally feel the tumors vibrating and getting hot.
Hmm.
Well, the first time that happened, it was like, whoa, what was that? You know, it's a pretty amazing feeling. Feel this buzz, you know, where the tumors were. And
the tones were coming through you, were they?
Pardon?
The tones were coming through you.
Yes, yes, and also through my partner. And so I told him what was happening, and he said, wow, that's amazing. So, but let's do some more. So we kept it up, and now people have asked me since then, well, what tone was it that you did, and how long did you do it for? I was not in a left brain space at all. I was not in linear thinking because we were in this meditative state. So I can't tell you what tone it was, and whatever tone I used for me wouldn't be the same tone that somebody else would need to use. It was the tone that I needed.
Did your partner get healing effects as well?
Oh, I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sure he did. So at one point, I went into what I would call a samadhi state. You know, I was in a very altered state, so much so that I really couldn't function. It was a good thing that he was there because he was holding the space and he was taking care of, you know, sort of the quote-unquote mundane tasks like food and that sort of thing, and just allowed me to go into this deep healing state.
Mm.
And I feel that what was happening was my body was basically sort of recalibrating at that point. It was 2 or 3 days where I was really in a very deep meditative state. And I really think that was the point where the healing happened. But I didn't know that's what was happening at the time. I didn't have a thought about that's what was actually happening. It was just an experience at that point. So several months later, I went back to Hawaii to have the surgery, and they took me in to do an ultrasound before the surgery because they wanted to see how much the tumors had grown in that 2 months. And I remember the technician starting to do the ultrasound, and she got kind of a puzzled look on her face, and then she said, well, just a minute, I got to call in the radiologist. I need some help here. And so she brought the radiologist in, and he looked around, and he said, excuse me, he said, I can't find the tumors. He said, I think they're gone. And I nearly fell off the table. So
they were gone yourself? Did you have a suspicion they were gone?
You know, I wasn't in that kind of a place because I didn't want to have an attachment to an outcome. That's certainly something I had prayed for, but no, I didn't have a vision that they were gone.
Hmm.
So he came back from talking to the surgeon, and he said to me, well, she said to tell you, congratulations, go home and keep doing whatever it is you're doing, because obviously it's working.
Excellent. Was the cyst gone as well?
No, the cyst, actually I can still feel the cyst there, just a little bit. And this is many, many years later.
Wow. So then you became a healer. I mean, obviously you didn't just jump
in. Well, I call myself a healer for myself. I don't really call myself a healer for other people, because
mm-hmm.
I think each person is their own healer.
Of course, but the music that you do, we listen to an awful lot of sound healing music, and your music is so incredibly powerful and very profound. I want you to do more. What do you do? Do you go out and do that for people? Do you do it in concert? Do you, what do you do?
Well, I do healing music concerts. I do smaller group sessions, you know, 20 or 30 people. Excuse me.
And what happens at those group sessions?
I have people lie down on the floor and just receive, and they basically go into a very deep meditative state. And journey, you know, I mean, everybody has different experiences. So some people... I guess some people probably have out-of-body experiences. Some people experience tingling. Some people just experience a very expanded sense of themselves. People can feel vibrations in certain areas of their body.
So what do you do while they're lying there? Do you like have many people at a time that you work with?
Well, when I do these group sessions, of course, there's, you know, many people. Sometimes it can be 100 people. But I play the crystal bowls, the singing crystal bowls, if you're familiar with those. They're these beautiful, beautiful instruments that are made out of 99% pure quartz crystal. They're very resonant, and they create the most amazing... vibrations, with beautiful tones, lots of rich overtones, and then I sing with them, and the combination of the voice with the crystal balls just creates a very unusual sound.
Well, Rita, are you willing to do something like that for listeners right now, or when you've got a, you know?
Actually, I don't have a crystal ball with me right at the moment.
Do you have a voice with you?
Pardon?
Do you have your voice?
I have my voice, yeah. It's a little raspy at the moment. I could do some overtoning.
And if you need a few minutes, then we'll just keep talking for a bit and tell me when you're ready and when your throat feels a bit easier.
Yeah.
I always have a throat spray sitting beside my chair.
Yeah, well, I have a little lozenge that I have right here.
Throat is amazingly transformative, isn't
it?
It
is. Okay, I don't know how this will come across the airwaves, but this is overtoning. So this is toning more than one note at a time. It's kind of like what the Tibetan monks do, or the Mongolians.
And we're asking people at home just to relax and let it move through their body, right?
Exactly.
Wow. I sure felt that in my body. You know, I felt that in my heart.
In your heart?
My heart, you know, the pumping organ.
Yeah.
Wow. And through my body, I'm pretty sensitive, but it really hit my heart.
Well, that's something that I do every day.
Oh, wow. You do it for yourself every day?
Yep. It's actually become like a spiritual practice for me.
How wonderful.
And it's so powerful, because it just vibrates every part of my body.
And we need to learn how to do that. is that really difficult?
Well... No, it's not difficult. It's like any other practice. You know, you learn the technique and then you just practice. It's like learning an instrument, like a violin or a flute or something.
And is it for healing or is it for shifting consciousness or both? Are they the same thing?
Well, it's hard to tell the difference between the two, right? they cross over each other quite a bit. For me, I find that it brings me into the presence of God as fast as anything. So, and to me, that's the only place that healing happens, is when you're in that state of consciousness where you can allow the healing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And until you can slow yourself down to that range of frequencies, you don't have healing happen. So if you could bring yourself into that state that quickly by just doing a practice, it seems to me that that's one to use.
Your throat's a little bit tricky right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I've been talking too much today. I just got off of a long phone call, so.
Well, do you know much about, I always see all sounds in color. I'm sure you do,
mm-hmm.
too, do you?
Mm-hmm.
So do you know much about, can you tell people anything about creating an awareness of color and sound and what would be appropriate for them? How do they open up to doing this?
Well, it's individual to each person, of course. Usually when I ask people to do, when they come to see me for a private session, I don't want to know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
For me, it's not about that, because that's just the stuff, and we get stuck in our story, we get stuck in our diagnosis, we get stuck in our belief system, and
so if you believe you have a diagnosis, you can't really open to flowing through it or flowing past it.
Well, I think people, there's so much out there these days in the media, and there's so many attitudes and preconceived ideas about certain conditions. So those carry a frequency. So people bring that frequency into the session with them, that tends to block the flow of the healing energy.
Mm-hmm.
The fear, you know, where they have put their trust. You know, people give their power away to lots of different entities. You know, they give their power away to insurance companies. They give their power away to
the media,
governments.
To media consensus.
The media, the statistics.
Polls.
You know, our families, our DNA, you know, our genetic history. We give so much power to that.
I always think that we're vibrational vehicles of light, but we don't really let ourselves engage in being that because of all these other beliefs.
Right. Well, we're so bombarded by frequencies from everywhere. I was telling somebody the other day that, you know, it used to be, in many years past, when we lived on the farm, that what we heard all day was the sounds of nature, probably the sounds of people talking. If it was before electricity, we didn't have the sounds of all the appliances and things that we have nowadays, like the refrigerator, the television, the lights, certainly all the sounds outside, the blowers, leaf blowers, and all those kinds of things. It was a very different world.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we're so stimulated all the time by all of these frequencies around us, the sounds of the traffic. You just walk down the street and you see so many people with their iPods, you know, plugged into their ears. So there's just this constant stimulation that for many people, just the act of slowing down and becoming present with themselves is as much a part of the healing as anything. But so many people don't take the time to be in nature where it's quiet, or they can't. They live in a city where it's always bustling and always buzzing, and they never have periods of silence. And I think that those periods of silence are every bit as important as the sound healing, you know, as putting frequencies in. It's really important to stop the frequencies and become still and quiet. And that's the only way that our bodies can actually speak to us, is if we are quiet enough to listen. But if we're one of those people that can't stand to be someplace where it's quiet, you know, the minute you walk in the door, you turn on the television or the stereo or whatever to distract ourselves, each person has within them this innate knowledge of what is healing.
What I heard was recently in this wonderful Higher Self CD I'm listening to, there's a fellow who works very much with the Ascended Masters, and what he was saying is that the silence is the gateway to infinite life, you know, infinite existence, and that aging comes from all these reactions. Mm. As soon as you have a thought and trying and all that, then you're on the path of aging.
Mm.
The way you put it was so simplistic, but I went, oh, I got that, you know.
Well, sometimes the most profound things are very simple.
They really are. Well, in terms of frequency, too, frequencies are things that can impede or get in the way, right?
Yeah.
So what happens? Have you any stories for us about people who came for sessions? And do they come for a while, or do they come once? Or?
Well, I've had people that I've worked on multiple times, but most people get what they need in one or two sessions.
So who comes to you?
Well, I remember one time I had this man who came to me. He'd been engaged to this woman, was deeply in love with her, and she died of cancer very suddenly.
Hmm.
Just, you know, within a matter of a few weeks after her diagnosis. And this was probably a year after she died. And I forget how he found me, I think through the internet. And he called and asked if he could have a session with me, and I said, sure. And he lived, I forget where he lived. I think he lived in Sacramento or something, and I'm in Santa Cruz, so that's, you know, 4 hours
away.
Bit
of a hike, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when he came to see me, he said, I need to grieve. He said, I haven't been able to cry. I've never been able to let go. Can you help me? And I said, absolutely. So we talked a little bit, and I created this safe space for him and just played the, you know, I always tune in because it's always a matter of what that person is needing in the moment. Nothing about what I want to do or what I need to do, but just what is it that they need. So I'm completely in service to them. And I don't remember what I did that day for him, but specifically. But he began to cry. And I just kept going and kept, and, you know, he was perfectly safe, and I knew he was going to be okay and that's what he wanted. And so I just let him cry and cry and cry and cry. And when we were finished, he sat up and he said, I feel washed clean.
Aww.
And, you know, I just realized, that was so simple, so simple. And it doesn't have to be anything complicated. I mean, it's just, so many times it's just being present with another person.
How long had he been widowed?
Well, I think it was about a year.
As we just did a show on grief, you know that.
I know. I was listening to that just before I came on, and I thought of him when you were talking about grief. I was remembering him and remembering that session that I had with him.
And have you found out anything about what happened to him after?
Well, I've seen him since. We actually have seen each other several times since, and not in a healing session, but in a more social setting, and he's doing great.
Great.
Yep, he's doing great.
So it really did wash him
It
free.
Really did. It just allowed him to let go.
Hmm.
Just let go of it. There was no need to carry that around anymore. And it was blocking his joy, you know. Grief, I believe that down below grief is the joy. And once you can let go of the grief, then there's room for experiencing joy again. Most people who are going through grief just joy is like the last thing that they're experiencing.
Well, that like that last caller, sometimes the brain pattern has been really afflicted too.
Yep.
I'd love to see you work with the brain on with people because I'm very fascinated by that and energy.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping in this next year to do some actual research with the crystal balls and my voice and get a sense of what really happens. I mean, I know what happens. I know what people tell me. Recently, this woman called, and I wasn't here, and she left a message for me. And she comes to my, I do a once-a-month Wednesday night healing meditation, and she comes to that almost every month. And her message to me said, you know, I've been wanting to tell you this for a while, and I haven't said it, and so I want to say this to you. I said, when I come to your meditations, I feel so safe. She said,
wonderful.
I feel like I used to feel when I would sit in my grandmother's lap.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, you know, what a beautiful visual that is. And she said, you know, whenever I go to any other kind of meditation and they ask me to go to a safe place, she said, I come to you.
Oh, what a compliment, eh?
Oh, sweet.
And when we get to a safe place like that, it's much easier to do some big healing, isn't
it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do? Do you actually just let the sounds come through?
Yeah.
And how does that work?
I get out of the way.
Mm-hmm. So you channel them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, channel, inspired, channeled, yeah, however you want to say that. It isn't as though I play a certain ball and think, okay, well, I could do these notes with that ball. No, I'm completely in. Once I set the space and do my prayer, I get out of the way. I, Amrita I, the small I, gets out of the way, and I have asked for whatever people need that is in their highest good come through in the music that's created. And in the meantime, you know, I get so much healing energy from it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I bet you feel really lifted, eh?
It's my favorite thing to do, really.
Do you feel like you've done this in other lives? Because I feel like you have.
Oh, I'm sure I did.
Yeah.
I'm sure I did, yeah.
There's one, I just keep seeing your connection to some galactic center as well, that you did it there. That was just what you were. So
yeah.
And let's see. Can you do another kind of a different sample for us? Do you ever do songs, or is it all?
I do songs because I'm part of this group called the Threshold Choir.
Oh, that's for working with people who are dying.
Yes, yeah. I do. I sing with the Threshold Choir, and I sing at the bedsides of people who are dying.
Mm-hmm.
And
what kind of songs do they sing, or do they tone as well?
Well, there is some toning that is done. Not everybody feels comfortable doing toning, so we don't always do toning. But the songs are just very simple little chants. Let's see, this is one that we do that I think is really beautiful. I am sending you light to heal you. To hold you, I am sending you light to hold you in love.
No, it's beautiful.
So when we sing at the bedsides, we usually go in groups of two or three, so it's small, because we don't want to create it. It's not about us. Mm-hmm. It's not even really about the song. It's about the person and bringing them comfort and
safe passage,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So we do gentle melodies and gentle harmonies. Sometimes we just sing in unison. If somebody's very close to the point of death, sometimes we don't even do harmonies anymore. We just do sing in unison.
Mm.
And it's amazing what happens for people. We can watch people just really relax and their breathing will get easier. We know that people don't need as much pain medication, so they can be more present at the point of death, which is really important for them and for their loved ones. So,
Well, I think that's just wonderful. I don't want to leave that, and I keep wanting you to do more sounds, but I'm going to ask you about, you were talking about creating a university without walls.
Right.
And this is to further your teaching,
yes.
Is it not?
Yes. One of the things I love to do is I love to teach about the power of sound and try to help people sort of expand their thinking about how sound affects us and how sound can be used in really healing ways. And for years, people have been asking me if I would put together a training program that would combine what I do with the crystal bowls with some of the deep healing principles that I learned in my own healing. Hmm. And, of course, that sounded really good to me, but, you know, to put together a training program is a lot of work if you're going to do it really in a really good way. And over these last 5 or 6 years, the crystal bowls have become more and more and more popular. And I've gone to conferences and things where there are people there who are selling crystal bowls, and I listen to the way some people play the crystal bowls, and it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. And so,
why? Because they're being they're doing not being, or
they're not being played in a conscious way, or they're just not. The bowls are something you really develop a relationship with. It's kind of like somebody who plays the violin, you know, and they have this relationship with their violin. Once you go into a deeper relationship with the instrument, the sounds that come from it are so much more rich and powerful and beautiful. So when I have heard some people playing these crystal bowls in what I feel is not a very healing way, I realized, you know, I think it's time for me to start teaching this. And I had met this woman from Australia about 5 years ago. She joined my organization, which is the Healing Music Organization, and we became friends over the, you know, through emails. And last year, we started talking about collaborating. She's been teaching in Australia for a number of years about the crystal bowls and various other healing techniques. And so we
decided, she uses sound like you do?
Yeah. Well, she doesn't do as much toning, but she plays the bowls very much the way I do, which is different than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just play them as loud as they can play them, mm-hmm. and don't really blend them and play them in a way that's musical.
Mm-hmm.
And
because we just don't know any better yet.
Because we don't know any better yet, right, right. But when I heard the way Susie played, I said, oh, this is someone that I know I can work with. So we have put together a school called the Crystal Sound Institute, and we've created a 12-month crystal sound therapy training program, and we're going to be doing the first one starting in October. It's been a really amazing experience putting this school together with her and I being half a world apart. We're very grateful for Skype because that's how we work. We sit for hours working on the phone, on Skype together, putting things together. So this training program will really it focuses on not just how to play the crystal bowls, but it's a very transformative training.
Personally transformative.
Mm-hmm. Takes people into their own healing process, because we both believe that until you do your own work on yourself, it's irresponsible to work with other people. Mm. And there's a lot of people out there who are doing healing work that are still in pretty wounded places themselves, and And especially when you're working with the crystal balls, because they're so pure, mm-hmm. and they resonate. So they really resonate whatever is around them. So if you're working with the crystal balls and you've got issues coming up, well, that gets radiated out with the music. Mm. So it's really important to...
But surely you can't be without issues at this point.
Pardon?
Surely you can't be totally without
issues.
Oh,
I'm not. No, I definitely have my issues. But but I'm very clear that when I'm doing the crystal balls that I step out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about me. And I make sure that I'm in a good space when I'm working with the crystal balls. If I'm not feeling well or if I'm dealing with an issue, I won't work with someone.
Because the crystal takes it and carries it in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this mm-hmm. program is designed to we're working in two intensives. The first one is a 10-day intensive.
Wow, that's a while, huh?
Yeah, and the second one is a 5-day. And in the 10-day, we're actually giving the students 3 days with no agenda, where they can really integrate the information and spend quiet time. Because I found in some of the other workshops and things that I've taken over the years that you get so much information crammed in like a weekend workshop or something. And then you go home and because there's so much that you've taken in and you haven't had a chance to really integrate it, that sometimes you lose a lot of the value of the training.
Well, Amrita, what kind of information is it? Is it what this frequency represents and what that frequency? What is it we're going to learn if we take these courses?
Well, the first 10 days really focuses on working with the chakras.
Mm.
So each day we work with a specific chakra and all the different attributes of that chakra, and with the crystal ball for the sound of the crystal ball for that chakra. And then we teach some different types of therapeutic techniques. And then in the months between those two intensives, we're going to have other learning modules once a month that we'll be doing over the Internet. So things like the anatomy of the ear and energy medicine and psychoacoustics. And so we have a different training module each month.
What's psychoacoustics?
Psychoacoustics is the study of how sound and music affect the physiology and the emotions.
Mm-hmm. That'd be very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So we also will be working with the students to help them get their business set up. So, you know, how do you get your business set up? Kind of giving them some basic business principles. And we'll help them design a concert. So design the concert and advertise it and how to put it all together so that they're really leaving this training with a toolbox that's full of tools that are very useful to them.
How many concerts do you give?
Pardon?
How many concerts do you give?
How many concerts do we give?
Yes.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Do you perform a lot?
Oh, as much as possible.
I would
love to do more.
Are you often performing?
I do probably, maybe 10 a year.
Hmm.
I'd like to do more, mm-hmm. obviously.
We need to say that out loud.
Yeah.
How do people get in touch with you?
It's my intention to do more.
Excellent.
Well, I have two websites now, one for the Healing Music Organization and one for the Crystal Sound Institute. Healing Music Organization is www.healingmusic.org. And the Crystal Sound Institute is www.crystalsoundinstitute.org. So they're both orgs.
Good.
People can reach me by phone at 831-588-7498, or by email at Amrita, A-M-R-I-T-A, at healingmusic.org.
Excellent. So it's easy to get hold of you. And so if people want to bring you on in the form of a concert or a seminar, right?
Yeah. I mean, I teach all of these in workshop format, each one of those sort of learning modules, you know, I can do as a workshop.
As a separate workshop.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how long are your sessions?
They're usually about an hour total.
And you say people quite often just come for one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there have been people who've come for multiple ones, but people seem to get what they need in one or two. So
tell me this, Amrita. It just occurred to me. What is it like? Have you ever worked with a family to kind of work with their vibrational mix in a family?
I have done that. I have done that a couple of times. And it's really a wonderful experience to have a family experience. A crystal ball session together.
Hmm. I should think it'd be one way to bring harmony.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, how about your own family? Your family of origin?
Well, that's another story.
It's always another story.
My parents are still alive. They live in Maine, mm-hmm. and I don't get a chance to see them too often because there's so much distance between us. I am going to be speaking at a conference in Massachusetts in November, so I'm going to go visit my parents then. And they, at first, they didn't quite understand what I'm doing, and I'm not sure they still completely understand it, but they think it's pretty fascinating. And they're both musicians themselves, so,
they
can understand that part of it, yeah.
Does it help people who are aging? I mean, surely it helps people aging.
Oh, yeah,
Have you explored that with them at all?
I haven't done too much. I assume that I'm going to do some more this time when I go visit them. So the last time I saw them was about 3 or 4 years ago, and that's the first time I had seen them in many years. So I do plan on doing some things with them while I visit them this time.
So you're not what we would call a close family.
No. No. I'm a little bit out of the box.
Well, I think with a lot of us is the family of origin is the placenta for our change rather than just to be nurtured, right?
Yeah, well, that's a good way to put it. I hadn't thought of it that way.
But it's interesting. So if they're musicians, at some level they're going to get it, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They definitely get it. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So this is a real growing thing on the planet. I'm very excited about sound healing. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. The field of sound healing is just really taking off. Becoming more and more popular. But, you know, Edgar Cayce said that the medicine of the future would be through sound.
Hmm.
And so it's happening. And the beauty of sound is that it can be an adjunct to any other type of work that people are doing.
Hmm.
You know, it can be something that can be used alongside chemotherapy or radiation or drug therapy or massage or acupuncture. It's just a great complement. I mean, it can be used by itself, but it doesn't have to. And so it's not one of those modalities that really interferes with anything else. If anything, it helps to sort of amplify what else that people are doing.
How about babies or little children? Have you worked with them?
I have. Not a lot, especially with the crystal balls, but singing to babies for sure. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I've done a number of sessions with singing to babies, and because I love to sing so much, any chance I get a chance to sing, I'll do that.
What about with autism and ADD and all of these things? Doesn't it make sense that smoothing out the vibrational flow for these? You know, sometimes I think it's all about broken frequencies in our world.
Well, that's what I think. I really feel that because of all the many frequencies that are around, you know, we're sort of living in this soup of frequencies these days.
Cacophonous stew.
It is. and we've seen so much more instances of autism and ADHD and also instances of anxiety and depression. I think these all are factors that have to do with the overstimulation that we have in this world. Mm-hmm. And
the jarring discordances that no one seems to think are important, they
exactly.
are.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And there's many things that are going on around us that we're not even aware of, you know, with all the stuff with defense and frequencies that are being used, the low-frequency sonar
that's right.
been in the news so much, and the HAARP project up in Alaska. So these frequencies are around us, and we're not even aware of them. But we
can create a protected environment through making sounds within ourselves,
yes.
can't we?
Yes.
And we can push them out, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately have to say goodbye.
Oh dear!
But I'm so thrilled that we had the opportunity to have you on this show, and that you're so much a paradigm shifter. And once again, please give your data so people can find you.
Sure. It's www.healingmusic.org. You can reach me at Amrita, A-M-R-I-T-A, at healingmusic.org. Or you can phone me at 831-588-7498.
Well, you know, you have such a lovely frequency. Just to be
yeah.
on with you is very, very sweet and relaxing.
Thank you.
So you make my life easy, don't you? I look forward to reconnecting with
yeah.
you, maybe in person when we're in California.
Good. I hope so.
And
I hope so.
Many blessings, Amrita.
Yes. Thank you so much, Veronica. And thank you for what you're doing out there on the air. It's just so important to get this information out to people. And I'm so grateful that you're doing it.
Thanks very much. See you soon.
Okay. Take good care.
Bye.
Bye now.
Well, now that was very inspiring. I want to start. I love to sing, and I'm not a great singer, but I have a good voice. I'm going to sing and sing.
Good.
Get my tones up and clear myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is that it's not. You don't have to have a good voice to do healing work with yourself. It's not about being a trained singer. It's about being authentic.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And that's one of the things that I really try to impress upon people, that it doesn't have to. It doesn't need to be pretty. Sometimes if you just need to discharge something, it just needs to be discharged. And it doesn't have anything to do with being pretty. It has to do with getting it out of your body.
Wow. So we are vibrational vehicles of light. And I better talk about next week's show, and thank you again for that final bit. That was helpful. Thanks, Amrita.
Good.
Next week we're going to have in a very different situation a woman who does what she calls radical medicine. She's a naturopath, and I believe she's a psychotherapist. Her name is Louisa Williams, and she has sent me for perusal and discussion on the show next week on Paradigm Shifters, this amazingly fat book. It's 1,200 and some odd pages. It's like your ancient medical tomb. And each thing that I look up in there is so... She talks about frequency. If you look up a problem, like tooth problems or something, she talks as much about frequency and about supplements, about body work, about all of these different things under that one category. So we're going to talk to Louisa Williams and find out how she got to be so courageous about putting her radical medicine forward into the world. She's a very, very delightful soul, and I know we're going to enjoy that. So be prepared to listen for your kind of questions, and you might even want to order her book because it's wonderful. Oh, I forgot to say, Amrita, you need to order her CD. She has this stunning CD which puts wafting frequencies into your life that you'll really be lifted by. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying I'm looking forward to meeting with some of you on Thursday night when I'm on Jackie Salvitti's ET Healing. We're going to talk again about lifting the feminine rage and all the kinds of things that we're going through about that. What's been happening to you since we started doing that rage thing? Because very often it prompts the awareness of rage in yourself, and that, of course, is en route to clearing it. And so that's 8 o'clock on Thursday night, and 4 o'clock next Tuesday I'll be on Radiance by Design. It's a call-in show about you. We try to help you move energies as well. Maybe I'll start making sounds next week. And at 5 o'clock next Tuesday is Paradigm Shifters and Meet Dr. Louisa Williams with Radical Medicine. This is Veronica Entwistle. If you want to get in touch with me for a session, just to tell me what you'd like to hear on the show or how you appreciated this show or whatever, it's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com, E-N-T-W-I-S-T-L-E.com. Again, it's Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. So I want to say goodnight, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. See you next week. Much love. Many blessings.